G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
A special guest joining us over this next hour. I just want to say you might be familiar with the great Bible teaching of the late Dr. Chuck Missler. And if you have some experience to share, something you'd like to contribute, or you might even have a question along the lines of a Bible question. And I can say that our special guest today won't be minding whatever you take in, so whatever direction you'd like to go. We'll open our talkback lines shortly. You'll be able to join in our conversation. But so many of our listeners will be familiar with the great Bible teaching of the late Dr. Chuck Missler. Of course, Chuck died aged 83 back in 2018. Chuck Missler was the founder of the Koinonia House Ministry and was perhaps best known to Vision listeners as the host of the radio program called 6640. And you can still hear 6640 overnights and on-demand podcasts on the Vision app or on the Vision website. A special celebration, though, to talk about today is we recognise a golden anniversary. For five decades, Koinonia House, or K House, has been producing and distributing materials that encourage and facilitate the serious study of the Bible. These days, K House is back on American soil and is led by pastor and Bible teacher Ron Matson. Ron was Chuck's right-hand man, but is also renowned for his verse-by-verse teaching throughout the Bible. Ron Matson is president of Koinonia House and Koinonia Institute. Ron's also hosted Bible teaching programs on television across Europe, and he's our guest back with us once again today. Hey, Ron, welcome back to 2020.
Well, it's great to be here, Neil. Wonderful. How's it down in Australia?
Well, life is wonderful in Australia all the time. Starting to get a little cool in some sectors, but thank you very much for asking. As I'm talking to you, I can see I've got you on a video link. You've got a fan blowing in the background there. You're actually in Florida, but home for you these days is California. Give us a little insight into what life's like for you.
Well, when we left New Zealand 2.5 years ago, that's where our base was when Chuck Missler passed away in 2021, the late summer, autumn here. We moved the operation back to the United States, at that time back to Idaho. And then 2 years later, we decided that the better location for us was in Florida. So now our offices are in Cocoa, Florida, right opposite Cape Canaveral and Disneyland to our west. So we're ideally suited and situated.
And it doesn't get cold in Florida, does it?
Well, no, not in the way it does in Idaho, that's for sure. You'll never shovel snow here. So I could leave my snow chains and all that stuff back in Idaho. So we're enjoying it here.
Hey, Ron, let's talk about Koinonia House. And for some people who might not be so familiar with the meaning of that word, they might be thinking, oh, that's a strange sort of a sound for a ministry name, Koinonia. Of course, that's a New Testament Greek word. How do you describe that when people say, what does that name mean?
Well, the simple term is it's used in the New Testament concerning the church in Jerusalem, that they had all things in common, the single word koinonia. It means fellowship. It's a fiduciary type friendship that you have where you are not only familiar with one another, but you feel obligated to connect with one another. And so Koinonia House was a great title that Chuck Missler chose more than 50 years ago now. As you mentioned, we're celebrating this year the ministry being in existence for 50 years. It's also another interesting celebration that's going to come up as we tick into May, because May 18 would have been Chuck's 90th birthday. And so he was 40 years old when he launched this thing and had a great vision. And God certainly has sustained it through throughout the years. But its primary objective is just to really equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Some might be feeling that once Chuck died, somehow a little bit of the wind was taken out of the sails of Koinonia House, because he was such a larger-than-life, very popular Bible teacher. But you've been at the helm ever since Chuck's passing, and you are also a Bible teacher. How do you describe things over these past sort of 6 years since Chuck died, how things have developed and changed for K House?
Well, that's a very good question. A lot of people were in anticipation of that, wondering what would happen. Most patriarchal kind of ministries, you know, a very strong individual, once they pass, then the ministry goes sort of into just archive mode. And but I sort of joked with Chuck in the years leading up eventually to his passing that I used to tell him, look, Chuck, we're going to be producing new information, new material for the next 10 years after you're gone. And he would laugh. And interestingly enough, in 2018, when Chuck did die on May the 1st, I sort of put the ministry in cotton wool for a while and thought, you know, let's just see what God's going to do here. If we're supposed to go the way of a soft landing and put it into automatic mode, then we'll do that. But we'll just see. And of course, by the end of 18 into 19, we saw a great interest in the ministry, even with Chuck's passing. And then, of course, 2020 came. The world was in lockdown all around the world, and that actually caused our ministry to grow tremendously, because people were at home. They weren't able to go necessarily to churches, and so we were ideally suited for that, in that sense, like a global radio network, in the sense that our material was widely available on the internet. And so 2021 were actually very good years for us. We probably, the size of the reach of the ministry probably doubled in size during that time. And it was at the end of 2021 that, because New Zealand was making it difficult for a number of us to travel outside the country during that time, when there was a small window that opened, that's when we decided, well, we need to go back to the United States where we can have a little more freedom to travel. And we continued. And we continued to do Israel trips. In 2020, I led a team of people for 2 weeks to Saudi Arabia to look at some evidence for the Exodus there. In Jebel Al's, a possible site of the Mount Sinai, and we've also taken a lot of Chuck's teachings, which were just audio, and of course taken back into our studio, and we've put it to video, and so. And that's grown. Our YouTube channel alone is a quarter of a million people, just the YouTube channel, and then we have lots of other outlets also. So we've been around. The things are growing. Our online school is just skyrocketed. The Koinonia Institute, which is a free online Bible school with both Chuck and my material, has in excess of 30,000 students now. Any one day, there's at least 4,000 people taking classes. So it's gone very, very well, Neil.
When you have a global ministry and new technologies that enable you to use a rich resource that you've had with Chuck Missler, I know that listeners will be able to appreciate, yes, that just because Chuck's gone, things don't have to slow down. And as you say, 30,000 students that are part of the Koinonia Institute these days, that is just amazing. Hey, let me ask you, let's talk a little bit about Chuck and his history, because people know him as a great Bible teacher. In fact, he was an intellect, perhaps very difficult to match. I'm aware of his history with the Naval Academy in the United States. He was commissioned into the Air Force. He joined the missile program and eventually became branch chief of the Department of Guided Missiles at Lowry Air Force Base. And I'm just reflecting too, because he had that history. And yet we see recent events like the drone and missile attack on Iran, from Iran on the nation of Israel. And I just wonder, you know, what would Chuck say about such things? Does this sort of thing come up in conversation? Because this would have been something, he would have been all over this in an amazing way. Any thoughts here from you on current events that are happening, really, just in the last week or two of our lives, seeing these things happening, knowing that Chuck Missler was such an avid ability to be able to speak into a biblical prophecy and look at those things that are developing around the world? What do you think he would have had to say about a missile attack on Israel?
Well, of course, Israel has been under the target of its enemies since its reconstitution in 1948. It's strange that such a small strip of land would create such agitation among not only the Muslim nations surrounding it, but worldwide. We're of course seeing that even in the United States. There's from an outside view would seem to be an irrational response. The fact that Iran is bold enough to try to launch some 300 missiles, which included cruise missiles and intercontinental kind of missiles and so on and so forth, drones. These are just all attempts of probing the defenses. They are their president, of course, has openly admitted his desire to wipe Israel off the map. Now, in any other situation, that would be considered a declaration of war. And, you know, it seems strange to me that the world would not react in support of Israel's right to defend themselves. But when we look at this from a biblical perspective, we recognize that the end time scenario won't be a matter of something logically coming about. It will unveil itself in the manner that God has prescribed it. And that is that all the nations ultimately will come against Israel. Even as you saw in the newspapers, perhaps in the last day or so, you have an international tribunal of the United Nations that wants to bring war crimes already against all of the politicians and generals in Israel and basically put an arrest warrant out on them. I mean, this is ridiculous, but it doesn't matter whether it's ridiculous. This is the mindset of a world gone mad. And when you lose a sense of who God is, then the only thing in your eyesight is what you believe you want to achieve. And of course, the prince and power of the air is Satan. And he's moving in and through the leaders of the world to bring about that end time scenario that ultimately will turn against Israel, and Israel will have no allies, and will enter that final stage, also referred to as the time of Jacob's troubles. You look at, I mean, it's easy to begin to see the coalition of Iran and Turkey and Russia and Syria. These are all nations that, of course, are named in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And people have asked, according to the House, we get lots of people who think somehow we have a special insight more than anyone else. But all we can say to them is, well, this is what Scripture says. And what we are seeing is at least a test run of these nations to see what they're going to do. See, Israel's a formidable military power. They have nuclear weapons. They won't admit it, but everyone knows it. They have submarines that have those nuclear missiles on them. They have a very large force that they can mobilize, and thus they're not going to be an easy target. And so it will take a concerted effort militarily, but ultimately we know, sadly, it will happen. And that's just on the agenda for the nation of Israel.
There's an inevitability, according to biblical prophecy, that these things will happen, and some will say maybe the jury is out on whether that will happen in our lifetime right now, but those things appear to be all coming together in a sort of a convergence along the lines of a biblical prophecy. Now, something that K-House, Koinonia Institute, was always so fabulously well known for was as a gathering place for intelligence from all over the world around the geopolitical changes. Is there still that sort of level of people interested in forwarding in information, intelligence? That does K-House still have that sort of receptacle ministry there of understanding intelligence and understanding these developments around the world?
Well, of course, Chuck was sort of the magnet that drew a lot of that. He attended and was members of a number of strategic committees and meetings that he could join. And given his experience in both the military and then primarily, because he was only in the military for a few years, the aerospace industry and the defense contracting, he stayed abreast of a lot of that and would read a lot of journals and was a subscriber of a lot of intelligence organizations. And there was a point in the early 2000s where Chuck tried to create sort of a Koinonia House intelligence group, but I think that he didn't really realize what was happening at that time with just the freely available news services that were around. Things just like all the online news services, an individual now with just a little bit of inquiring mind can get great insight. And so there's no central organization where that's taking place anymore. I think anyone can tag into political and medical and strategic types of online resources. And generally, as Koinonia House, what we've done since Chuck's passing is that we've tried to focus on what we as Christians can offer. The news and the situation in the world is changing so fast that there's no way that we could break a news item faster than any of these online services. And so you sort of go with what you're called to do and what you're good at, and that is to stand back and try to give a biblical perspective on all the issues. And so, no, not necessarily the same kind of stuff where Chuck would have some technical insight or he'd meet a particular politician and have something like that. More now, I think the ministry is focused on equipping the saints to live victorious lives in a desperate situation, really, and to give them some encouragement and some hope in the midst of all of this, that the world's not out of control. This is all part of the plan. And once you understand the plan, then you can settle back into what our main duty is, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Hey, Ron, let's talk a little about those early days when Chuck got things started, because he really just started leading a Bible study, didn't he? But he was with a very large church, the Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Lots of listeners might be familiar with Chuck Smith. He was a part of this big church and began leading a Bible study. And this is how his Bible study, Bible teaching ministry really got flying.
Yes, it did. He moved to Southern California to take over a corporation as a CEO, and he got linked up with Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. It was in the mid 1970s, right, really at the height of the Jesus movement. And of course, if you saw Greg Laurie's movie, The Jesus Revolution, That's really a scaled down version of what was actually happening. It was much larger than that, much far reaching than that. And so you can imagine against that backdrop of all these hippies coming into this church, sitting cross-legged on the floor. At the same time, there was a midweek study with this guy that would drive up in a gray Ferrari in his three-piece pinstripe suit. And he was quite a sight to see, in the sense that you would kind of go in there as a young person and see how long you could stay in his meeting before your mind was blown. And he would just take you through all of this stuff, which really characterized his early ministry, because he was in that field of expertise. Chuck always believed in the idea of the biblical entrepreneur. In other words, the person that would work full time, that was his tent making, and then also use then the freedom to be able to teach. And so he was coming to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and he was they already had a Bible teacher in Chuck Smith that did the line by line, verse by verse, book by book teaching. And so in those early days, Chuck was the guy that would come in and talk about everything from aliens to space travel and hidden codes and all that kind of stuff. So he was kind of the spicy appetizer that was there, but people loved it. And it didn't take long before Chuck Missler also began to teach expositionally with his own twists there at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And in fact, before coming online, you had asked me, about what are we doing now? And the truth of the matter is, we're still finding teachings that he did at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in the 1980s and 90s. And we're drawing them out of a large archive that we have. And some of that stuff is just amazing. And so we're making short form content out of it. But it was during that time, really, that he got linked with a guy named Hal Lindsey. The two of them really spun each other up in terms of prophecy. Chuck and Hal did a few books together. And after Hal was, of course, famous for his late great Planet Earth. And so really, between Chuck Smith, Hal Lindsey, and Chuck Missler, you kind of had the fantastic trio of three in Southern California that were really making a huge impact. And so when Chuck started his little ministry called Koinonia House, of course, he was full-time employed. It was just something for him to have a charity organization to be able to work under when he was out ministering. And it was never seen as something that would grow into anything big. It was just a way in which he could do that. And to be honest, he was its greatest contributor. In fact, one little tidbit here: throughout the life of Chuck Missler, the number one donor to the ministry was Chuck Missler. I don't mean his time. Of course he gave that. But in terms of financial support from a private individual, Chuck Missler supported his own ministry more than any other single person in the history of the ministry over five decades. So, because a lot of people say, oh, Chuck got in it for the money and this and that. Nothing could be further from the truth. He was wholly and solely dedicated to the idea of taking whatever resources he had and using it for the furtherance of the gospel. And so those early years were fantastic for him. And as he began to first put out cassette tapes. He was the first to sort of do the two cassette tapes, a couple of notes, and put them in a little package and call it a briefing package. No one in Bible teaching had ever thought of such a thing. So he kind of pioneered that. He pioneered, as the internet was coming on in the 90s, a lot of things that we're all familiar with now. But he really, as a Christian teacher, was able to springboard off of his technical capability and understanding to use it in his ability to make available his Bible teaching. And of course, early on, cassette tapes of his teachings, even through the Bible, were freely given all over the world by the hundreds of thousands for free. And they came out of the Koinonia House ministry primarily because of the generosity of Chuck Missler himself. So he saw it really more as a channel through which he could minister to other people.
Ron, let's take a call, and just for listeners, 1-800-316-316, if you'd like to join into our conversation. Someone who has been waiting very patiently is Adam from Wauchope in New South Wales. Hey, Adam, thanks so much for waiting patiently. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my pleasure. Just a couple of comments. Just thank you so much, Ron, for getting the Missler series all on YouTube. I found Chuck Missler and Nancy with Vision when I started listening to Vision 7.5 years ago, and listened to it every night at 9:30 at night, and it's wonderful. But with the things that have been going on in the world, to have the full book of Revelation on that YouTube channel, and have the workbooks that you can still buy. We bought some through Vision and so forth, the Vision Shop, to work through that Revelation series and to give a really in-depth teaching on what's going on in the world right now has been invaluable. My sister and I both have been working through that since July last year, and it's helped us think clearly at church and Bible studies and in our daily lives amongst the atrocities that are happening at the moment. And I cannot thank you enough for putting all that valuable material on YouTube.
Fabulous insight, Adam. Let's get a thought or two. Ron, what are your thoughts for Adam?
Well, Adam, thank you very much. And, you know, we have a number of ministry partners. Vision FM, to be honest, going all the way back to the early 90s, Chuck and Nancy Missler look forward to almost annually going to Australia and New Zealand. And Vision FM was a big part of that in connecting us with people in the whole of the South Pacific. And of course, as technology moved on in 2012, we began to add some of our material on YouTube. Now we have about 1,500 hours of material there. But again, with the use of not only YouTube, but the podcasts that Vision FM have, the podcasts that we have, we're just pleased that we can keep distributing things and God keeps providing. You know, when I took over as the president in 2015, of course, Chuck was still very much alive and very much active. And the very first time I met with they wanted to see what my plan was going forward. They recognized that this was a transition period, and God was gracious in giving us another 3+ years to do that. But nonetheless, I remember standing before the board and saying, "Well, gentlemen, I want you to understand something, that I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And therefore, I don't want to be guilty of leaving a bunch of money in the bank." Not that we had a bunch of money. But I said, and I don't want to hide a bunch of material that may never be discovered. So my objective is going to be to try to outgive God. And so we're going to start giving away some of our most sought-after products. We're going to make them free. We're going to put them on radio programs. We're going to put them on YouTube. We're going to put them on podcasts. And we're really pleased that it's been a blessing to people. And just so you know, in Australia, Vision FM is a big part of that international program that God has orchestrated to make sure that anyone who wants to hear can hear the wonderful teaching of Chuck Missler.
Adam, anything further to add?
Just quickly, I mean, you mentioned Ferrari, so I have to comment. But many years ago, when I was listening to the podcast on 6640, or just at evening, sorry, on the live on Vision, I've been listening to it for a while, and you just actually trying to absorb the knowledge that he has is mind-blowing in itself. But then he'll start talking about a Ferrari, which I've had a lot of connection with in my life, exotic cars and all that sort of stuff. And then he brings in the personal side of what he's already experienced in life and shows all that he has experienced. Even though he's a wonderful Bible teacher, he has seen the other side of life. He has learned many lessons by it. And I just love how he can be so intelligent with the Lord and wise, but he also has experienced so many other things in life that help him to get there. And that was just one thing. You know, he does actually mention that in his 6640 series. If you ever, anyone that's ever listening to it, you can wait to hear what he talks about. But it's just fascinating.
Adam, I think you're the best ad for 6640. So thank you so much for your great contribution
Mandy is, I think.
Mandy too, yes. Hey, Adam, thanks so much for your call. Listeners, you'd like to make a contribution to our conversation. Well, 1-800-316-316. And Adam, with an interest in Ferraris, I didn't know that there was this streak that ran through our listenership that there were Ferrari owners and Ferrari fans. So Adam's one of those. And there we have Chuck Missler driving a Ferrari in those early years as well. Hey, he did like to talk about those very different things that people sometimes when they think of doing a Bible study, they don't always think of, and you mentioned some of these things a little earlier, Ron, talking about space and aliens. And I had the joy of having lunch with Chuck in New Zealand shortly before he died. And he shared with me, he said, Neil, it's a good thing to be able to have a little sensationalism when you are presenting these things for people. And there's a certain sensationalism that he was able to adopt. But beyond basics, Ron, the Bible has insights into a lot of dimensions. It's just you've got to be able to ask those right questions and get Bible wisdom. That's what Chuck was particularly good at.
Yes. Yeah, I think with Chuck Missler, one of the things that he learned probably from his technology background and his contract management background is that sometimes to gain a person's respect, you need to take them with you into some deep water where they're out of their comfort zone so that you can show them not just how great you are, but that you'll have answers for perhaps some areas that they're uncomfortable with. And so Chuck was willing to, as he would say, get up to mischief if it suited. It wasn't so that you would be overly impressed with him, but he wanted to show you that he wasn't just your bulk standard seminary graduate type of a Bible teacher that is going to just play back what he received from someone else, that he was able to draw you into quantum physics or trans-dimensional travel and so on and so forth, and not simply carry around some other people's thoughts. And that's where he was unusual in that sense, in that he did traffic in a lot of areas which would not be common for your standard pulpit Bible teacher. Now, that's not to make that sound like a person that doesn't have that knowledge is not knowledgeable of the Bible. That's not the case at all. He just understood that God had given him an incredibly eclectic background. And yet, when you walk, I remember the first time I walked into his office when he was in Post Falls, Idaho. And I walked in, and on the left side of his desk, on the wall, were, we'll call them professional trophies. They were signed photographs by Apollo astronauts and various honors. One, when he was at Ford Motor Company, he was voted Young Engineer of the Year, and the person who was delivering him the award eventually became the CEO of Chrysler Motor Company. And so he had this huge thing over there. Any one of those, and there were dozens of them, any one of those would be a lifetime achievement. And above it, he had this little bronze plaque that said wood, hay, stubble. And then to the wall in front of his desk was first his family, his wife, his family, some of his favorite Bible covers of these little briefing packages, gold, silver, and precious stones. And you know, that's how you really measure a person, is what he puts value in. Oftentimes, we're impressed with someone's secular achievements, and then we might listen to them. But Chuck, he didn't seek that. I think that was sort of like a gifting of God that he recognized was something that purpose. It wasn't just enjoy style, but lifestyle. Trust me, an individual that, yes, and with some very people and things. There's not enough time to delineate percent of that. But the important is that I believe God capacity and because at his a humble man body of Christ.
Ron, just breaking up a little bit there, I'm not sure if there's something at your end, if you've leaned into something there on your desktop, but let me ask you, because this is something that was very different about Chuck Missler. He wasn't, as you're describing, that sort of church ministry career that started young and went through Bible college and graduated into being a church Bible teacher. Here's someone who had a significant science, mathematics background and aerospace, as you were talking, and military, bringing those sorts of dimensions of our own lives to the sorts of things that we pursue in ministry. He was a really good exponent of that and was able to draw on that rich heritage of his own career to be able to bring that to a Bible teaching ministry. And of course, those three elements of enable, educate, and engage. He was interested in all of the dimensions that might be necessary to be able to reach the world with the gospel message.
Yeah, I think your audio just dropped out, so I'm not sure.
All right, sorry
what the question
that
was.
Okay, well, let's move on, and let me ask you about Nancy Missler, because Nancy was his lifelong spouse. And she had her own writing ministry as well and was a Bible teacher as well. How do you reflect on Nancy?
Well, Nancy was really Chuck's opposite. I think any good marriage is made up of polar opposites. You each fill in the lack of the other. And Nancy, of course, through the relationship with Chuck, was able to bring insight into the heart of ministry. And so her first major published book was a book called The Way of Agape. And it really speaks of their relationship, their marital relationship, and how through learning about agape love, that love that gives not expecting return, a God-given type love, that it was something that would not only save their marriage, but it brought an element into their relationship that she then developed into a whole series of teachings and ministry materials that are still very popular today, especially the Way of Agape, Be Transformed in Faith in the Nicene. So it's sort of the triad of her primary work.
Let me ask you about your ministry, Ron, because you've been at the helm now of K House since Chuck's passing back 2018. And, you know, I guess some listeners will be thinking, well, who's this Ron Mattson? He's just someone who's in the shadows. And undoubtedly, whenever you're talking about K-House, you're probably reflecting a lot on Chuck and Nancy and their larger-than-life appeal. But not to underestimate your own capacity as a Bible teacher, you also love to teach Scripture verse by verse. You're a little bit of a chip off the old block in that sense of a little like Chuck, but no doubt you're bringing your own personality to Bible teaching. How do you reflect on your own ministry?
Well, you know, Chuck and I met in 1992. I was aware of him when we were both at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in the 70s. I was on staff there, and he was, of course, like I said, the corporate rock star that was coming in his fancy cars. But and so I was one of those 20-something kids sitting in the audience, legs crossed, trying to figure out where on earth this guy's taking us. But later, I was in England. I was a management consultant for the IBM Corporation at that point, and we met up in 92. And as soon as we met, because of the connection with Calvary Chapel and both having a technology background, both having a view that we felt comfortable with being spiritual entrepreneurs in the sense that we worked full-time and also pastored and taught. I was teaching and pastoring a church in England at that time also, along with full-time job there in the aerospace industry in Britain. But so that started. And then over time, we just became closer and closer in terms of ministry partnership. And so when Chuck and Nancy asked myself and my wife to come down to New Zealand, we knew it really was going to be their final, as you would say, swan song. And so at that time, I had both a radio program at UCB in England, and also I was on a Revelation TV there every week, Friday night, 2 hours, doing a live Bible study and caller call-in. And so I wasn't really looking to go anywhere. We had a church, I had a television program, a radio program, and the ministry was doing well. But Chuck and Nancy asked my wife and I to come to New Zealand to help them. And at that point, we prayed about it, and we made the trip down. And my own church board asked me at that one time, why are you going? You're leaving a ministry that's vibrant. Why are you going, you know, in a one-way ticket down to New Zealand? And I remember quite distinctly simply saying to them, I'm going there to disappear. I'm going there to help Chuck and Nancy finish well. Because so often, ministries like this, they can run into trouble in the final stages. And I want to help them, and my wife and I both, we want to help them finish well. And of course, that characterized really the final years of Chuck there. We arrived in early or late 2011, 2012, and had a good solid 6.5 years of working with Chuck. And Nancy, of course, went off and passed away in 2015. But in terms of my own personal ministry, I had already taught through. In fact, I used to joke with Chuck because I had a church. It was easy for me to have lots of opportunities. And so I'd already taught through the Bible almost three times. And I had a lot of topics that were very similar to his. But I sort of mothballed a lot of that so that as the ministry was going forward, it did not appear that I was the Rehoboam coming along to ruin what Solomon had built. And so I was very careful to just let that sit there. God will raise that up in its own time. And so subsequently, I've published maybe a dozen or so briefing packages and a few other commentaries that I've done. But really, my focus is to get out Chuck's ministry first. And I certainly feel that I have things to say, but I think that I can also see that people are still, especially young people, are still resonating with the type and style of Chuck Missler's Bible teaching. And so my focus primarily is on remastering and finding archives and producing more and more Chuck's material in more and more different types of media platforms. And then when there's time and there's effort, I go around the United States and I do what's called Koinonia Connection meetings, and they're meetings of 30 to 50 people, and it's just small sort of things that it's like a super home Bible study. And I do those around the country here, and I'll travel anywhere. Give me an opportunity to come to Australia, I'll come to Australia. You know, if there's something I could say that would be interesting to anyone. But I really am comfortable with promoting the work of my good friend Chuck Missler. And then I'll take the scraps from the table after that.
Well, you never know who's listening, and there might be someone who's about to connect with you and invite you to come to Australia. And no doubt be an opportunity in studio live if you do happen to come down our way down under. for listeners who want to connect with Ron Matson and perhaps you want to access more of the resources, and even as Ron says, there was a lot of resource that just had never seen the light of day, but it has become available through K House. You'll be able to go to the K House website, khouse.org. K House, of course, is short for Koinonia House and the Koinonia Institute. And as you heard Ron say a little earlier, 30,000 people who are involved in being enrolled in that free Bible study opportunity at Koinonia Institute. khouse.org. Ron Matson, wonderful getting your insights. Thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts, and a special congratulations once again, the golden anniversary for Koinonia House. Thanks so much for taking some time to share these thoughts with listeners today on 2020.
Well, thank you very much, Neil. God bless you all.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.